Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Samuel Webster Harris. Today, we are covering some short and highly actionable advice on just getting stuff done. There are a million ways to cook this egg and analyze your inner psychology around the adversities you may face in the simple task of doing the thing. And there are some really good sources you can look into if you want to find out more. Nir Eyal, for example, has a brilliant book on distraction, and he coined the pithy phrase that time management is pain management. And you may also have heard or read Atomic Habits, which has been one of the best-selling books of all time and is full of nuggets of wisdom to help you make small changes across your days that could become consistent nudges towards who you want to be. However, today I'm going to be talking about perhaps the most simple and for me the most effective tool towards getting stuff done, and that is based on an essay called Doing the Thing. When you boil everything down, essentially all productivity advice is about finding a tool for you that helps make it obvious for you what you should be doing when and motivate you to go and do it at that time. Because you are where you currently are in life right now, and there's a future place that you want to get to, and there is something that you need to do to get you there. And whatever that thing is, you need to knuckle down and just do the thing without getting distracted and doing other things that won't help you get that thing done. I'm going to read out a very quick essay that is straight to the point about the mistakes that we make when we start trying to do the thing. Preparing to do the thing is not doing the thing. Scheduling time to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Making a to-do list for the thing isn't doing the thing. Telling people that you're going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Messaging friends who may or may not be doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Writing a banger tweet about how you are going to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating on yourself for not doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating on other people who have done the thing isn't doing the thing. Hating on the obstacles in the way of doing the thing isn't doing the thing. Fantasizing about all of the adoration you'll receive once you've done the thing isn't doing the thing. Reading about how to do the thing isn't doing the thing. Reading about how other people did the thing isn't doing the thing. Reading or listening to this essay isn't doing the thing. The only thing that is doing the thing is doing the thing. This seems to be from a guy on the internet called Gareth Evans, but also maybe from an alias called Strangest Loop. Who knows? The point is that they want you to go and do the thing and not get distracted by other things, especially ones that look like they're doing a thing but really aren't, which leads us onto the whole concept of false productivity. In the modern day, we have become complete suckers for feeling busy over being productive. Checking your phone and your notifications is a perfect example of fake progress. It feels like you are employing your brain in that moment to do something, because you are doing something, but it's really just avoiding the more challenging and more useful activity that you need to do. Besides obvious things like that, there are many other ways that we can fall into this trap. I'm sure you've had days where you felt like you were rushing through the day at a million miles an hour and you're all go, 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 working, working, working. And at the end of the day, you're like, wow, I was hella busy and I haven't got anything done. None of these big important things that I needed to do have been moved forwards in the slightest. Oh dear. And that is because we're doing things, but we aren't doing the important thing. Reacting to emails and just sorting through the bunch of things that life will throw at you every day if you listen to it. And a lot of those tasks won't be terrible tasks to have done, but they probably also aren't moving the needle on what you need to have done. You certainly see this a lot in many companies that have endless meetings, just talking about doing things and not doing the thing. For your own personal life, if you end up creating a list of like 50 things to do, there will be probably some very important items on that list, but so many things that aren't important. And this definitely gets hard when you're responsible for your own time. Like for me as a podcaster, I have three important tasks: writing episodes, recording episodes, and editing and publishing, which I'm combining into one task. Anyway, It may be four tasks, it may be three. The point is, they are all part of the singular important key metric, which is publishing a podcast episode and getting it out there. Of course, to run the show, there are many other important things I could be doing, but I've really had to clarify what the real thing is in my mind so that I don't spend days looking through my analytics or pondering new ideas in psychology or considering the optimal strategy for episode formats or rewriting my show description again and again and again, or chasing advertisers and then responding to advertisers and then deciding I don't even like the advertiser and ignoring the advertiser, creating collaborations with other podcasters, maybe meeting with my editor, emailing and organizing guests, or perhaps there's the insane number of other non-podcast things that I still need to do for myself just to keep my life moving forwards and that I do find important. None of those things are actual progress on doing the thing. And I had to decide and draw a line around the fact that none of those things are progress for me in doing the thing. And the beauty of that is it's given me a very, very simple metric that I can really tell if I'm doing it or not. I know when I am not doing my work, because if I'm not writing, recording, editing, then I'm not doing the actual thing. Even when I'm doing lots of other things that feel like work and are kind of useful to do at some point. I should never sacrifice doing the actual important essential thing, which is making good episodes consistently. And for someone with ADHD, that was a really useful thing for me to realize, because if I'm so good at finding 10 million other tasks that I could be doing in like starting things, I love starting lots of things, and actually finishing things and sticking to them is a really hard one for me. But just making it obvious for my brain is like, okay, I'm just being an idiot. I need to go and not be an idiot for a while and do some writing. But whether you have ADHD or not, this is just a lifelong problem for lots of people. Like when I was in Nepal as a mountain guide, you could see so many people that had been obsessing over false progress. There'd be these wannabe mountaineers with all the fancy gear that they'd been collecting over the years. They have their specially fitted boots and the perfectly weighted jacket. They'd spent hours deliberating on the best trousers for a 2-week expedition based on the weight and breathability. They'd mapped out their routes and researched online all the different possible routes. They'd watched endless reviews on YouTube of different ways that you could be walking through these mountains. They'd worked out exactly the elevation rate they needed to be climbing at and how many calories a day they could be eating. Yet they hadn't spent much time going outside and doing some hiking. Ultimately, if you want to be a good hiker or a mountaineer, you have to go outdoors and do some hiking and mountaineering kind of often and just put yourself out there. Get lost on some hills with just a map and a compass and you'll start learning how to read a map. Climb a big hill that's near you 5 times in a single day and you'll get much better at climbing mountains when you're really tired, stressed, hungry and you want to go to sleep and you're cold. Now, of course, none of those other activities are bad things to do. You could imagine someone who was an expert doing them to help them get slightly better, but the most important thing to do is just doing the thing. People can waste years of their life saying they want to run a business, reading lots of books, listening to podcasts, waiting for the perfect idea, but just start something and really fast you'll learn how to run a business more than you can ever learn by reading a book or optimizing the way you think about something when you've never actually done it. Right, so we've established not doing a thing isn't great, but psychology also, surprisingly, agrees. And this isn't just for like the really big things, this can be for any of the littler things in your life. Every day, it is so important to know what your priority that day is and what counts as getting the thing done and what doesn't. Like I said at the start, there are lots of great books and advice for forming habits, increasing your willpower, etc. But I would genuinely say the most important thing is really to keep it simple and have a singular action that is your metric of success versus failing, and just to put your energy behind that singular action. A big component of procrastination is the temporal motivation theory, which basically outlines the fact that our desire to do a task is inversely correlated to how much time we have left. Once it becomes very urgent, our desire to do it will trump everything else and we really prioritize it and we get it done. And the problem with that is if we have a very big goal without a deadline, it just never gets done. That's why we really need to feel the full importance of doing it every day or every week, even though it's not urgent right now. Writing a book, learning a language, these big amorphous tasks that can be consistently put off till next week. They won't get done unless we go, right, that's the thing I need to do, and it is doing the thing, and any of these other things adjacent to it or unrelated to it are just not pushing me in the right direction. Even in work, when you look at lots of executives, many of them will spend possibly just an hour of truly effectively working in terms of doing some writing of a pitch deck or sales analysis forecasts that they need to deliver to people. And the rest is just communicating with other people about what they may or may not do and making sure everybody knows that they are or aren't doing it and being in these meetings or sending emails and just avoiding the actual little task they have to get done. Now, I'm sure you've also heard of the planning fallacy, where we completely fail to estimate the right amount of time needed to do the thing. Well, usually it's not so much a failure of the actual estimation of time truly needed, it's that we spend so much time not doing the thing when we need to be spending time doing the thing. And because of that, we end up becoming late and we have to spend more time planning the thing in the time we're meant to be doing the thing because we're so off track and we just delay things even further. And we let our plans grow and let ourselves start doing all of these adjacent tasks that aren't just the simple act of doing the thing. Perhaps one of the most useful parts of the doing the thing method is that it just makes you start. Often the tasks that we are avoiding aren't even as difficult as we expect or warrant half the amount of procrastination that we put into them. There's a thing called the Zeigarnik effect, which is a psychological phenomenon that describes how people remember uncompleted or interrupted tasks better than completed tasks. And it means that once you've got something started, it's much easier to carry on and complete the task. And that means that we need to put an unreasonable amount of effort into just starting and defeating the initial procrastination that puts us off the starting phase. Because once we've started, we're more likely to continue to completion because our brains are seeking some closure. So when you're thinking about this big, huge task, you're trying to like sit down and carve 3 days of time out to do this one big thing, you don't need to put so much focus into working out how you can do the whole thing at once, but instead focus on how you can just make a start and at least do some of the difficult thing. For me, planning an episode and writing the first 500 words is definitely half the battle. The second phase of all of the writing does come quite naturally after that has begun and the shape has really taken place. Like, sure, if I want to be completely perfect, I might reach 90% done and still have 90% left to go because I'll be like endlessly editing. But most episodes, most of the time, the big problem is just actually sitting down and being like, right, I'm going to start this. Because in my head, I'm always like, I need 2 days uninterrupted just to do a perfect job of everything. And I'll just keep on waiting until there's 1 day left. And I'll be like, oh no. And so I just have to do it all at once. Whereas on the days when I just start, it actually goes much smoother and I can just finish it off tomorrow quite easily. And life is much better and I'm much happier. More coming up after the break. But firstly, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And they want you to ask yourself, what is the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in the day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book? Many of us wish we had more time, which is something we've been talking about in this episode. But what for? The best way to squeeze that thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to prioritize it. Therapy can help you find what matters to you and do more of that thing. Personally, I found therapy with BetterHelp really did help me to stop running around like a nutter so much and make peace with some of the things I thought I wanted to do and do more of what I actually enjoy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, then BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/growthmindset today to get 10% off your first month. That is betterhelp.com/growthmindset. I am delighted to be sponsored by LinkedIn Jobs. Hiring for a small business is very important. You want people that will do the thing and who will also help those around them do the thing. And so the right hire is crucial. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools that will help you get your task of hiring done faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. It's a vast network of more than a billion professionals giving you access to talent that you can't find anywhere else. In fact, 86% of small businesses found a qualified candidate within 24 hours of posting their job. And that is why 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/growth. That's G-R-O-W-T-H. linkedin.com/growth to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, now on to some question and answers that will just quickly dig through the most important things you need to know about doing the thing. When should I do the thing? Right now is good. You should do the thing now. Not next week, not tomorrow, not in 10 minutes. Now. But I don't have time right now. Well, you never really have time. You do not collect or accrue time. Time just flows constantly. And if you let it go past you without using it, then that's your problem. But how do you make time? Well, you don't make time. You just prioritize your actions around using time. There is no time creation process. It is a resource that is continuously available to us. So it's more that we need to make ourselves as a resource available to time. We need to put our own work into time and avoid ourselves from doing stupid fake work that isn't the thing and make sure we've prioritized what is most important. The thing I always say with growth mindset is that if you adopt it, you can possibly do anything, but you still can't do everything. Your life ultimately is a limited resource with a limited number of years. Whatever you are doing now means you are not doing everything else. You will die. That will be the end. You don't know when that end will be, but you know it will happen. So prioritize what is important and discard the rest of the things that aren't. What if doing the thing is hard? Great question. That probably means it's worth doing. Growth mindset is about enjoying and embracing challenge because you know there is a reward on the other side of hard work. As the Stoics taught us, the obstacle is the way. So if it's hard, you should be getting excited. If it feels too hard, it's often that it's too big and it just needs to be broken down. Sure, I'm not going to be able to run a 100-mile ultramarathon in one day tomorrow, but I can practice doing a lot of running over a few years and start by running half marathons and then marathons and then smaller ultramarathons. And eventually you can build up to the ability to run that sort of crazy distance over years. And it's the same with writing a book or any other big project. What if I am not ready to do the thing? Well, of course, you might not be ready yet. You might need to train before you run a marathon, as we've said. If you want to write a book, it genuinely might not be the right time for you yet. Perhaps you need to work on different ideas or get more experience or write a different book first. But if the thing is important, there is definitely work you could be doing that will push you in that correct direction. You certainly shouldn't just sit on your hands and do nothing until everything is convenient and easy, because it never will be convenient and easy. For writing a book, that might mean doing a lot of research or blogging around the topic, or even running a podcast in the area. Perhaps creating outlines and pitching them to people. The important trick here is to not fall into making excuses that trip us headlong into just avoiding doing the thing. And that means that you have to be authentically honest with yourself here and start drawing lines. Some activities might be correct to do for a bit, but not to do too much of. For example, if you're applying for jobs, you do need a CV and a cover letter and maybe a portfolio. Sure, more experience, more qualifications are never bad things. But if you volunteer for 5 years and get 10 more qualifications before you try to apply for a job, that would be absurd and not helping you really in the goal of getting that job, because you could probably start applying now. So our task is to really distinguish quickly between the real reasons not to do things and the excuses that look like a good reason, that's actually just a very easy and convenient lie to ourselves about doing the thing. There is this very gray zone between being hard on yourself versus being too easy on yourself. because you do need to practice self-care, but you do need to avoid reaching the place where if someone was to look at you and what you're doing, they'd be like, wow, you're practicing a lot of self-care and not doing a lot of doing the thing. And in that case, you really need to be honest with yourself. Because of course, self-care can help you do the thing. It's essential to keeping you sane and energized and getting anything done. Rest is so important. But sometimes self-care is just dressed up as ways to allow yourself to avoid doing the thing. Back on Talking My Podcast, there are lots of nice things that I can do to help energize myself, like listening to other podcasts or making friends with other podcasters and creating a peer support group, and then finding time to exercise, process my life, rest. But I still need to have that like consistent weekly schedule of doing the actual thing, making sure that's just a few concrete activities where I know I am really doing it or not doing it. That was a long answer, sorry. Next question. What if I don't know how to do the thing? Again, that is completely fine. Most people don't know what they're doing, even when they've done it before. You just have to be willing to try and learn as you go along. Again, growth mindset. Stephen Pressfield first tried to write a book at the age of 22, completely failed and gave up. He tried again 12 years later when he was 34, and he carried on writing books for another 20 years until finally at the age of 55, his first book was published. Since then, his books have been made into movies, and he is one of the most respected authors of his generation. Whatever we are doing, at a fundamental level, we are still making things up as we go along based on some stuff that we've maybe learned along the way. Part of doing the thing is just getting used to the fact that you don't truly know what you're doing. And in fact, having less expectations of how to do the thing properly and being open-minded to different ways of doing the thing is actually helpful. It means that you can accept that you could still be getting much better at any point in time, and that's a fundamental core of growth mindset thinking. But what if I fail at doing the thing? Well, nothing is really a failure unless you quit without actually doing the thing. If you look at my previous example of Stephen Pressfield, he had several unpublished books, and they aren't failures as much as they are stepping stones and lessons to get him to success. If you prematurely quit because you expect to do a bad job or you expect to fail, you're just setting yourself up for a life of rejecting yourself before you ever even do the thing you want to do. Actually, having a failure is a wonderful teacher, and it's just a humbling requirement that pushes you towards greatness. Sure, it's not the nicest fun teacher that you'll ever learn from, and you might not look forward to their lessons initially, but you'll start to learn that they do really help you understand yourself, and over time, you'll develop this ability to value your time having failures and not want to avoid it. And on this, I think it's also worth changing our concept of what doing the thing is, because doing the thing isn't succeeding as much as it is participating in the thing doing. Like a best-selling novel or a million podcast downloads isn't doing the thing. Showing up each day to write that novel or release that weekly podcast is doing the thing. And if you do that, maybe next year, your other metric-based goals might happen if you keep doing the thing. So don't focus on the public reaction to your thing. Instead, let yourself doing the thing be the result. Back with the lessons we learned from the Stoics, you need to focus on what you can control. And that means focus on the fact that you can control yourself doing the thing, but you can't control the reactions that others have to it. Just do the thing you need to do the best you can, and don't get sucked into trying to be perfect or all of the million other ways you'll find to not do the thing. Put your head down and get it done, and give yourself a massive pat on the back for doing it. And on that, this episode is done. So thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed it and you are feeling the urge to not do the thing and perhaps tell other people how they could do the thing, you might want to share this episode with them briefly before you then get round to doing the thing. Or you might also want to leave a really good rating on your platform of choice about how well I do the thing, which is podcasting, just to let other people know about that, and that it might help them do the thing, which is whatever they do. And that would be really appreciated if you could. Of course, no requirements if you've already run off and stopped listening to go and do the thing. That's a result for me as well. And with that, good luck with doing the thing.